About a month ago, I was sitting at my dining room table, chatting with my friend Ian, when all of a sudden, pop, we heard this small explosion coming from the utility closet. Now, in this closet, we have the air conditioner, which is on top of the water heater. And Ian said that he had heard a similar noise earlier that day. So this was the second pop. Now, being the bachelors that we were, we kept on discussing. We were having an important conversation. So we kept chatting, and then we heard it again. Pop! And this time, we saw something inside the closet light up like fireworks. Perhaps it was time to investigate. This morning, I would like to tell you the rest of this story, and I would like to talk about what we do on Yom Kippur. And along the way, there are three lessons I learned from this story about what we do on this day, the holiest day of the year. Number one, turn on the light. Turn to somebody and say, turn on the light. Number two, change the filter. Number three, he cares. Let's begin with the first lesson, turn on the light. During the days of awe, we often get the sense that something is wrong in our houses, inside of us. Something is setting off sparks in our souls, many explosions. We have sins and iniquities that kind of bubble up to the surface. They show up. They cause us to turn aside from our daily conversations and our daily activities and toward the stuff that is going on inside us. Maybe we have conflict with a friend or a loved one. Maybe we realize we've been judgmental. Maybe we've adopted an attitude of pride or contempt. But these issues often come to a head during the days of awe. And the source of these explosions does not originate out in the open, but in the closets, in the deep places we've covered up. You know, when you invite someone to your house, they usually don't look in the closet, right? We don't hardly go in there ourselves. I didn't even realize we had a light in there, in our little utility closet, until we went to investigate. And I went in and I saw it, and there's a string that goes all the way down to the floor to pull on it. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, it states, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's leave it up there for a second. There are two parts of this passage. The first shows us that we should bring our lives into the light, our sins into the light, by confessing them to God. The second shows that if we do bring our sins to the light, if we confess them, then God will forgive us and make us brand new, purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we don't allow God's light to shed on our sins, and iniquities. That's like saying that we have no sin, that we are perfect, that we don't need grace. Those who are not perfect, those who acknowledge the problems in their closet and take heed to those explosions, these are the ones who need grace. Thank you. You can take it down. When my roommates and I went into the closet and turned on the light, we could see the problem. The air conditioner was dripping onto the water heater, and it was causing the wires inside the water heater to spark. So bringing light, confessing our sins to the Lord, reveals the problems so that Hashem can deal with it. On Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, of forgiveness, of restoration, of grace, we turn on the light. And this brings us to the second lesson, which was change the filter. Now we had identified the problem, so we turned off the power at the breaker so that the sparks would stop, so at least, you know, the home wouldn't catch fire. But that meant we had no air conditioning and no hot water, but we were safe. We languished for a few days, taking cold showers and opening the windows to catch a breeze. One of my roommates even bought some fans, you know, those fans that you put on the floor and it stands up and to try to get some air going. Now, come Sunday, I decided that we had had enough, and I was going to fix the problem. Now, I'm not what you would describe as a handyman. My fixing and building skills are somewhat limited. I find this is typical for Jewish males. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure the last Jewish carpenter was Yeshua. So, given my weakness in this area, I decided I would call my friend Mike Clark to get his advice. And over the course of a very long conversation with Mike, and hanging up and sending him several pictures of the utility closet, and then more conversation, he explained that the air conditioner was leaking because the filter was old and probably filthy. By the way, as a tip for other bachelors, you should change your air filters about once every 3 to 4 months. We needed to change ours. But in order to change it, we had to find it first. Now Mike said it might be, you know, close to the unit. It might be, you know, somewhere else in the home, you know, behind a big grate. So we had to search for it. So my roommates and I, we searched all over the condo for where the filter might be. Finally, we found it in the closet itself, underneath the unit. This old, dirty, mangled, nasty-looking filter. And inside the closet itself, you know, next to the unit, there was a brand new filter. I guess maybe I had purchased it a long time ago. I don't. So I took out the old one and put in the new one and cleaned up the unit. Said a quick prayer and turned on the breaker. And cool air flooded my home. Baruch Hashem. Now, what is our air filter and how do we change it? To answer that, let's read Proverbs 4, verse 23 together. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, above all other things that are guarded, guard your heart. The Hebrew word here for guard is mishmar, from the verb shamar or shomer. Above all other things that you guard or keep, shomer, guard your heart. More than you shomer Shabbos, more than you keep the Shabbat, keep your heart. More than you shomer ha-mitzvot, more than you keep the commandments. Keep your heart. Above all other things that are guarded and kept, guard and keep your heart. The word shomer is used in Scripture to mean to keep something within boundaries, to restrain it, to protect it. Now, if we have a fresh filter over what we let into our hearts, we can guard it, protect it. Over the course of the year, our hearts have started to develop some gunk, the kind of gunk you find in an old filter. Exactly what gunk is in our hearts? Yeshua explains in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. But how do we change the filter? By changing what's going into our hearts. What boundaries should we set on our eyes this Yom Kippur? What limits should we reset on our ears so that evil things don't enter our hearts? When we hear slander and gossip, our filter needs changing. When we look at images of lust or violence, our filter needs changing. On Yom Kippur, we need to change the filter. And this brings us to the third lesson. He cares. So I had fixed the air conditioner, but the water heater below it still wasn't working. And another week goes by. Another week of very cool air and very cool water in the shower. Very quick showers. So being the experienced handyman that I now was, I called Mike Clark again. And he instructed me to open the flap and examine the wires that were affected by the water. So I turned off the breaker again, and I examined them. And after sending Mike some more pictures, he determined that the wires were corroded. They needed to be clipped, and then you take off the end part and then rewired. He told me the tools I would need: a screwdriver, tape, and those little wire cap things that you screw on the end. This is, of course, the technical term. I said another quick prayer. I drove to Pleasant's Hardware, feeling like a manly man, excited to be acting out this new role, the handyman. I came back home, and I did my best to follow Mike's instructions. Excited, very excited. I turned the breaker back on. I walked over to the bathroom sink, turned on the hot water, and it was still cold. Maybe it was getting hot? No. No hot showers yet. A few days later, one of my roommates told me that he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw me go back into the closet and switch the wires. There were four wires. When he told me that, I thought, maybe this is a prophetic dream. Maybe this is a message from God. After all, God still speaks to his children, even in dreams. So I went back to the closet, and I switched the wires. The next morning, I had a nice, hot shower. Baruch Hashem. My point is, I believe that God gave a dream to my roommate just so we could have hot water. And that means he cares. He cares about the tiny things, the medium things, and the big things. Yeshua said that God cares about every hair on our heads. The hair on our heads. This is a very tiny thing for God to care about. Especially if you have the amount of hair that I do. This means that no prayer is too small for Hashem. He cares about your dog. He cares about your bad day. He cares about your water heater. He cares about you. On Yom Kippur, we turn on the light to uncover our sins, but not so that God can condemn us, but rather so that he can fix the problem, because he cares. On Yom Kippur, we change the filter and guard our hearts, because God wants us to have healthy hearts, filled with life, filled with him. Repentance and reflection can be stressful and difficult. Most people do not like to shine a light on their sins, to humble themselves, to re-examine their boundaries, to repent. It can cause us to come to the day of Yom Kippur focusing on all that gunk. But instead, let's remember that this is also the day to see that he is cleaning us up, that he is teaching us his ways. He's refining our character. Let us see that he has made atonement for our sins. He has redeemed us from our iniquities. He has shown us grace and provision, even in the smallest details of our lives. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a day to remember that God cares about you. Let's pray. Avinu, we thank you that we come this morning to a throne, but it is a throne of grace. And we thank you for this process that you've brought us through during the days of awe. And we submit to you, and we thank you, O God, that you make us right by your Son, Yeshua, and that you care about us so deeply. And I pray, Lord, that for everyone that's hearing my words, that your care, that your love would infuse their hearts. In the name of Yeshua this day, amen.
Don't we have a great rabbi in training here? Please turn to page 57 in your machzors for the Yeast Course service, and let us read together. Our days are like grass. We shoot up like flowers that fade and die as the chill wind passes over them. Yet your love for those who revere you is everlasting. Your righteousness extends to all generations.
Please turn to page 58 for El Malay Lachamim.